Someone mentioned to me just this week, I think it might have been Friday, that don't ever forget that this is a prayer. I mean, I know we're preaching our way through it, but this is actually a prayer for you to pray. And many years ago, this prayer would have been recited nearly every Sunday in church. And I'm not sure that that was necessarily all that helpful. Perhaps it was. I wonder whether this is perhaps more for our own private prayer life and devotion. So if you're like me and you struggle with prayer and you feel overwhelmed sometimes, or maybe you feel threatened by those that have got a black belt in praying, this is a prayer for you. Right? So don't forget that. So let's read together then. This then is how you should pray in Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 9. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Let's pray. Father, this morning we again come before you in utter dependence on your wisdom and your insight and the truth of your word to be made alive and real by the power of your Holy Spirit. May it be so. May we be doers of the word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've all got favourite food stories, and the part that we're focusing on this morning is "Give us today our daily bread." And I wonder whether this is your favourite and whether you've got a favourite food story. My favourite food story is the story of a dad with 9 sons, and the standing rule in the house was that if there was one piece of chicken left and the father didn't want it, the father did want us, but he didn't want the chicken, the quickest fork won. So if the dad didn't want the chicken, the quickest fork won. So the family were coming to the end of an epic chicken meal, and there was one piece of chicken left on the chicken platter, and just then the lights went out. And while the lights were out, there was a blood-curdling scream emanating from the table. Well, the lights came back on to reveal the father's hand in the middle of the chicken platter with 9 forks sticking out of it. Now, the reason that is one of my favourite stories is it's not too far from the truth relating to my family. One of the biggest dangers in this particular line, "Give us today our daily bread," is that we can over-spiritualise it. And so traditionally, the Catholic Church interpreted the bread as the actual body of Jesus. So this, for them, was a reference to Mass. And through a process called transubstantiation, the bread of the Mass, or the bread of the communion, actually became the body of Christ for the participant. Now, we don't agree with that. And I can actually substantiate that fact, but I can't transubstantiate it. But evangelicals, we have our own issues with this as well, because our favourite pastime is driving a wedge between the sacred and the secular. And we have a favourite devotional, don't we? It's called our daily bread. And so we want to interpret this in a spiritual way as well. But I want you to see that the first and the most sensible reading of this is that God is very concerned about our physical well-being and our daily bread, what we eat. And we see this in very sharp focus with Jesus, and you'll remember the crowds following Jesus, and he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were hungry. And so he interrupted his message to feed the crowds. At least twice, he supernaturally fed a large crowd of people. And the Sunday school teacher was recounting this story once to her students. I don't know why Sunday school teachers always appear now. He was recounting this to his students, and was telling the students, telling the class about this miraculous story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the teacher ended with a great flourish and summed up the story and said, and that's how it happened. Jesus fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when they picked up all the leftovers, there were 12 basketfuls. And then the Sunday school teacher said, I bet you couldn't do that. And there was one little girl at the back who said, sure I could. And the Sunday school teacher said, and how would you do that? And the little girl said, with the leftovers. Jesus was concerned with the well-being of his followers. And he interrupted a spiritual meal to give them a physical meal. And it reminds us of the concern that God has for our daily needs. And so we need to interpret this in its first reading. Give us today our daily bread. Ultimately, God is concerned with the redemption of this human body and the resurrection of this human body. So, 5 words that we're going to focus on this morning, very simply. And we're going to move backwards. Now, that's not an out-of-the-question prospect, because the Greek actually translates this. The bread of us daily, give to us today. The bread of us daily, give to us today. So we're going to start backwards. And I want to speak about, first of all, bread. Give us today our daily bread. A man was visiting a zoo, and he came across an enclosure, and there was a baguette in the enclosure, and he nudged the zookeeper and said, what's with the baguette in the enclosure? And the zookeeper just shook him, you know, shrugged his shoulders and said, it was bred in captivity. Give us today our daily bread. Now, what I want you to notice is that Jesus doesn't say, give us today our daily cake. And so the intent of this request, give us today our daily bread, is that we would be sustained with simple yet nourishing food. Which leads me to say 2 things. One is this, that we overeat. We eat too much. Now, I know I've said this before, but since I've said it, we're all, myself included, you, me, and everyone in between, we are still eating too much. Now, I don't want to be too supercilious about this, but we do eat too much. And apparently we only need 1,200 calories per day to exist. And some of you are saying, are you kidding? I eat that before breakfast. So number one is we eat too much. But I think the second issue, which is perhaps more important for us, is this, that we have an obsession with food. We have an obsession with it. And with the advent of cooking shows like MasterChef and My Kitchen Reels, and they're the latest iterations of cooking shows that have been around for so long, we have become gourmet eaters and gourmet preparers. We love our gourmet food. And we're kind of obsessed almost with food. Now again, I'm the worst of all sinners, as Paul would say, regarding food. I'm a hypocrite, but we have this obsession with food. I remember, and I hate saying this, but when I was a kid, and we were not poor, but perhaps relative to today's living standards, we may have been considered poor, but we didn't know we were poor. So you could predict every night what would be for dinner. So the big event was Sunday dinner, which was a roast. All the family came. The last bit of chicken. Monday was leftovers from Sunday roast, and Mum would take the roast potatoes that were left over and slice them up and fry them in the frying pan. Awesome. Tuesday, soup and bread, Wednesday might have been a meat and veggie meal. And what we ate was what was on special at the time or what we grew ourselves. And we existed on rather simple food. And when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, the intent is that we would ask God for nourishing, sustaining food. And that we would not, as the Apostle Paul said, allow our stomachs to become our God. You with me? Give us today our daily bread. And that brings into play the wider understanding of the term bread. We use bread as a euphemism for money, and we use the word dough as a euphemism for money. And so the intent is, Lord, would you give us all that we need to be sustained, whether that be bread, or whether that be fuel in the car, or whether that be money to pay the power bill, would you graciously give that to us today? Man doesn't live on bread alone. And it's not just about bread, but you know that you can't just eat bread. Why? Because bread is like the sun. It sets, it rises in the east, and it sets in the waste. Right? You can't just eat bread, but the intent is, God, would you sustain us today? And that brings me to the next word, which is the word daily. Give us today our daily bread, working from the back this way. Now, this is a very unusual word for the translators. They didn't know how to translate this. And it's only found here in Matthew and also in Luke's account, or Luke's rendition of the Lord's Prayer, which is somewhat truncated and abbreviated to Matthew's. It was to the point where one of the early church fathers, whose name was Origen, thought that Matthew and Luke had actually made up this word daily. But it was not until the mid-1960s that there was a parchment of common Greek writing that was found in the Egyptian desert that had survived for 2,000 years, and at the top of this parchment was the word daily, and this, in fact, was a shopping list. And it was assumed it was a woman's shopping list, and at the top it was the word daily, which literally translated meant for the next 24 hours. And then it gave some light and understanding to the Lord's Prayer. And so this list that said for the next 24 hours had all that the woman wanted, pardon me, needed, because we all know that if it was what she wanted, it would be a whole lot longer, right? Sorry, ladies. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Did I say that out loud? Men know how to use credit cards just as well as women. And so it was just what I need for the next 24 hours. Wow. I think that's very challenging. The prayer is, Lord, just give me what I need for the next 24 hours. And of course, we remember the story of the Israelites in the desert. And you can see, you can find this in Exodus 16, where they left Egypt and they grumbled before Moses and Aaron because they had nothing to eat. And God promised that he would sustain them. And so he sent manna in the evening. No, he sent manna in the morning. We forget that he sent quail in the evening, don't we? We think about the manna, but we forget the quail. And God said to them, just collect enough for one day, for 24 hours. There were some who were greedy, collected more, and it rotted. It became maggot-infested, the Bible tells us. And then on the sixth day, they were meant to collect more for the Sabbath. So God provided for them just 24 hours at a time. And it reminds us that that is the only way that we can live. We can only live 24 hours at a time. Isn't that right? You can do what you need to do today. You can work, you can recreate, you can mow the lawn, you can rearrange your sock drawers, whatever you do today, then you go to bed, and you go to bed in the expectation that God will raise you up in the morning so that you can face another 24 hours. We can only live 24 hours. And some people say, oh, I'm just taking it one day at a time, and they say that as though that might be a badge of honour. But listen, buddy, we're all just living one day at a time, because it's the only way you can live, right? Daily. Can't see beyond that. I'll come back to that thought. Give us today our, the next word I want to focus on is our. And you'll notice the collective here, the sense of community in this. Give us today our. Give us our. And so there's no hint of selfishness in this prayer. Many of the world's aid organisations, Oxfam, World Vision, the World Health Fund, and so on, tell us that there is enough food in the world to feed the total world population. There is more food produced per person, 17% more food produced per capita than there was 30 years ago. The problem is not that there's not enough food, but there's a deeper problem to do with inequity and selfishness. So we benefit from the hard work of people working in the developing world, many of whom are only living on less than $2 a day. And there's a real sense of injustice and inequity. Not that there's not enough food, but there's a deeper seated problem. In our country, we have the rise of what is called the working poor. So many people who are working, earning a wage, are not earning enough to feed their family. And so soup kitchens around the country have been overwhelmed because of the needs of the working poor. In our neck of the woods, we have something like 10 to 15 people every week who will come through the church or the resource centre who need food. So here's what I want you to think about. You may actually be the answer to someone's prayer, give us today a daily bread. The fourth word, working backwards, is today. Give us today. Now in Jesus' day, the labourers were day labourers or they were subsistence farmers. So a day labourer would work in the fields. But first of all, he would go to the marketplace and he would look eligible, you know. Pick me. And he would stand there with all the other day laborers hoping that a subsistence farmer would hire him for a day. And if he wasn't hired for a day, guess what? No income. If he was hired for a day, he was paid for the day. If the subsistence farmer was not successful with his crop, then he wouldn't hire the day labourer and he would have no food. In other words, in most of the families that Jesus is addressing here, the pantry was empty in the morning, may well have been empty at the end of the day. So here's my thought. If Jesus says to men and women who rely on day labour or subsistence farming to ask for the day, it beggars belief, doesn't it, that you and I, with food in our hand, in our fridge, and money in the bank account, become anxious about tomorrow. And yet we do. We want to become anxious, but it doesn't make sense. But it happens. King David in Psalm 37 said, I was a young man and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous go without or their children beg for bread. And while that's true, our faith is certainly tested, is it not? And so we've had periods in our life where there's a certain amount of money that comes in and you defer that bill, you pay that registration, you juggle that to pay that, you move this around. I remember doing that for 4 or 5 years, testing the goodness of God, and I can stand before you and you can stand before me and say, I have never seen the righteous go without or their children beg for food, can you not? And yet we are tested. Give us today. And then the last word I want to focus on is the word give. And this word give reminds us that everything that we have and all that we are is a gift from God. Now, it's interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that God spoke to the Israelites and he said to them, there will come a time when you enter the promised land and you will make that land work for you. You plant your crops and harvest your crops and so on, and you will no longer need to live by manna from heaven or by quail supernaturally provided. You will do what you need to do in the land. But when that happens, do not forget that it was I, the Lord, that provided for you. And everything that we have, everything, is a gift. There's a poem, and I'll see if I can remember it, and I'll know whether you know it and whether I get it wrong. The poem goes like this. Back of the bread is the snowy flour. Back of the flour is the mill. Back of the mill is the wheat and the shower and the Father's will. In other words, whether we grow something or whether something is provided, everything that we have, everything, is a gift from God. And the very least that we can do before we eat our daily bread is to say, thank you. God, thank you. I think I've told you this story, but my father loved to say grace. It was like the grace of God in that it never ended, went on forever. The food got cold, shuffling of plates. But we never ate anything without my father saying, thank you, God, for your provision. Give us today our daily bread. Now, let me finish with a couple of thoughts. Number one is this. This does not encourage laziness. There's a really, really strong scripture in Thessalonians that says, if a man does not work, he shall not eat. Now, I don't know whether that's a causal relationship between not working and eating or whether it's a punishment for not working. I don't know. But it says, if a man doesn't work, he will not eat. So this does not encourage laziness. Secondly, this does not preclude forward planning. And some of you in your retirement years are thanking God now that he gave you the capacity to plan ahead. And that in itself is a gift from him. But you know the reality too, that even though you've planned ahead, sometimes the money doesn't stretch that far, and you need to pray, give us today our daily bread, right? And the third thing I want to say is this. This does not replace the reality that ultimately Jesus is the bread of life. And in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. There will come a time when bread will not sustain you because it can't sustain you. And there will come a time when water will not quench your thirst because it can't quench your thirst. But only Jesus, who is the bread of life, will see you from this life into the life that is to come. So there is a very powerful spiritual dimension to give us today our daily bread. Don't miss the practical, but don't overlook the spiritual. Jesus is ultimately the bread of life. And without him, There is no life worth living, whether you're eating bread, steak, baked beans, cake, whatever it might be. Jesus is the bread of life. Amen? Let's pray together. Help us, Lord, to rest daily in your daily provision. Help us to have a heart of gratitude and thanks for all that you do and all that you continue to do. May we be challenged by the ethical demands of this particular prayer, this part of the prayer. Give us today our daily bread. May we be challenged by the reality that we need to trust you day by day. And we thank you that we can look back over our lives and through our lives and see the good, powerful hand of God moving and providing day by day, for which we are so thankful. And we pray all of this and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.